We have to pass the bill so that you can find out what is in it.
You're a lying dog-faced pony soldier.
Total power in one person's hands, not the American way. These damn bills that come out here all the damn time come out here to the last, and I gotta try to figure out how to vote for my people. Enough! I feel like somebody trying to be released from Egypt. Let my people go!
And welcome to another episode of Political Hogwash. I'm your host, David Cooper. Got a lot of different things to get into today. A lot of upsetting politics going on in the world with regards to coronavirus, bills being passed, things being said by people that honestly would be construed as racist, misogynistic, you name it. I've got it on the show today. So first off, I want to get into the coronavirus responses across some of the different states. The Illinois State Police just issued a statement refusing to enforce the governor's tyrannical lockdown order. They're saying that no action will be taken against those found in violation. They are still encouraging people to abide by the rules that are set forth in the governor's executive order, but they're saying that no action will be taken, no disciplinary action, no fines, nothing that the governor said in that executive order will actually happen. So I'm sure a lot of people are now taking it with a grain of salt since it's not being enforced. That, in turn, did force the Illinois governor to rescind the order for the lockdown violations after they issued that statement. So maybe he's looking at taking a softer tone on the response as a whole, hopefully. We've got a bunch of different governors kind of going rogue with this, using their emergency powers to they're abusing their emergency powers. They're not listening to their people that they were elected to listen to, that they were elected to represent. They're using the coronavirus as a tool to usurp more funds, and it's downright disgusting. So hopefully we'll be keeping an eye on Illinois and they won't have to take any extreme measures, but I'm not exactly fond of the Illinois governor's response when he said that he was going to make the lockdown indefinite. He literally said that it was going to be an indefinite lockdown order. We talked about this on the last show, just a little recap. He said that until the coronavirus is eradicated, Illinois will remain in a state of lockdown. I'm pretty sure that put the fear of God into a lot of people that were out of jobs, out on the street, in fear of losing their houses. You know, it's not a pretty picture over there in all these states that are run by these rogue governors. You've got the Democratic Governor Whitmer in Michigan, who restricted non-essential items, and you couldn't even plant your own food anymore. They restricted buying seeds. Is that not the goofiest thing? What is the point of all this? Is she trying to get noticed for VP? Is she trying to make a statement, send a message, or is she just on a power trip? Who knows? We've got a lot of people that are rising up, speaking out against it. It's good to see. State legislatures are starting to take action against these governors, and they're revoking the orders, they're suspending them, they're ensuring that they can't have absolute power, which is exactly what we need, is keep those with this kind of power in check. The New York City Mayor de Blasio recently said that any swimmers at public beaches on Memorial Day weekend, which, mind you, is a holiday where you celebrate the freedom that we have and those who died for it, that died fighting for it. And he's going to use that to say that we're going to restrict you from celebrating it, from swimming and partying and using your freedom. That's what the whole day's about, is paying respect by exercising your freedoms. And he wants to use that as a tool to scare people to stay home, to stay in lockdown, to, you know, fear the spread of coronavirus. It's the end all be all. And he also said that fences would be built, people would be taken right out of the water. He literally said they'll be taken right out of the water and fences would be built if necessary. First of all, since when do Democrats believe walls work? Okay, I've never heard that before. Well, I heard that before Trump was elected. They used to say all the time that we need to get immigration under control. We need to build, not build a wall, but we need better, stronger borders. Then Trump proposed a wall and they were suddenly against it, flip-flopping Democrats, but I don't understand why he thinks now all of a sudden that walls are going to work. A fence is going to stop people from swimming. Hey, just cut the chain link fence and walk right through. Have fun swimming. You know, it's not something that can be easily enforced, especially if the police pull a move like they did in Illinois where they refused to enforce the order. Now, we haven't heard anything about New York police, state police, or otherwise willing to defy this order. As far as I know, they're enforcing it full bore, because the New York was a hot spot in the very beginning and probably still is. It's hard to tell because we have so many numbers coming out every single day. Who knows whether they're real? We've got numbers from the WHO, the CDC, they're different numbers. We've got people that are saying that they died of coronavirus when they got shot just because they tested positive for coronavirus. They're counting it as a coronavirus death. I mean, it's madness that they would even consider this. And the reason being is hospitals are actually getting more money for diagnosing patients with coronavirus. Why that's even a stipulation or a perk, I will never know. But it's money in politics. It's money in our healthcare system that shouldn't be there. It's skewing the data. It's throwing everything off. It's really amping up our response to be a threat level that it's not. There's no reason for us to be where we are today. I'm taking a strong tone on this because the cure became worse than the problem, way worse. There is no way that the economy would have crashed like this had we just taken responsible, fact-based steps. If we looked at the evidence, we said, okay, we can take these measures, and we'll do this. We'll only lock down this state. We'll figure things out. But no, instead, we almost went into a international panic, and we acted on our impulses. And the government saw that as a means to take power and control the people. It's absolute madness. So we'll see if the New York State Police or otherwise will still enforce that. The numbers anymore, they just said, the CDC just said today that they realized they screwed up numbers. They mixed numbers between positive tests for antibodies and positive tests for coronavirus. I really hope somebody gets fired over this, because these are people's lives. This is money. This is entire nations at stake. This isn't some small little screw up. This isn't me dropping the F-bomb on my show and getting fined by the FCC. This is an international horrible incident. So I don't know what's going to happen on Memorial Day weekend, but if it's anything like Florida, then we'll see people flocking to the beaches to swim and basically say, screw the government. We're going to enjoy our Memorial Day barbecues, and we're going to have fun swimming with family and friends. More power to you. I don't think that this is all about the virus. I think it's all about control. Maybe in the beginning, maybe it was about the virus. Yes, there's a virus. That's not a hoax. I'm not saying it's fake. Obviously, there's a virus out there. But the Democrats have been caught saying, well, we don't want a good crisis to ever go to waste. They certainly didn't. They took control and they've gone rampant with it. Trump's urging governors to reopen their states, too. He's telling people that they're going too slowly opening their states, and America needs to get back on track, reopen faster. And recently, Governor Whitmer of Michigan actually had a scary encounter, because she had protesters armed to the teeth with the intent to basically intimidate and show that they weren't going to sit down and take it anymore. They wanted their state reopened. They wanted their economy back. And they marched up to the Capitol building there And some of them made it inside, and there were screaming matches between police. The state police was there blocking them from getting to the politicians. The politicians there were putting on their own bulletproof vests. Madness. I thought it was going to break out into a revolution over there. And I'm not saying that that's okay, but there was no violence. So maybe it is. Maybe they need to be heard. And Trump has gone on record saying, Governor Whitmer, you need to listen to your people. They're not happy. He sent a tweet out. That's how he gets his news out, because the news skews everything he says anyways. Sometimes I wish he wouldn't tweet because of some of the things he says. I'll tell you about a tweet he said over the week in a little bit here, but he's fired up about it too. He wants these states to reopen and get this economy flowing, and these people are just abusing their emergency power to soak up the funds from the federal government and keep their people in check. It's disgusting. Some states, governors banned the sale of alcohol, of firearms. They said firearms were non-essential. Now, obviously, that's Democratic stance. They want to ban guns as a whole. But for them to ban it in a time of national emergency is honestly, whether they fully believe it or not, it honestly goes against the Constitution. Right to bear arms, but nowhere to get them. There might be a loophole in the Constitution there where they're not violating it, but if it's interpretation, then that's a problem. Because if they can't look at the Constitution and clearly see that they shouldn't do this, they should not be in power. Instead, they're trampling on people's rights and telling them they can't go out and be in public and restricting their freedom of movement, restricting their rights to bear arms. You can't go buy guns now. You have to undergo these ridiculous red flag background checks. So basically, if you say something the government doesn't like, then the red flag law is going to kick in effect and ban you from purchasing a firearm just because you went on Facebook saying something. But there's no investigation being done for these red flag laws. Instead, they're put on a list, and then they're automatically banned from buying guns. I don't know if they just go to buy a gun and they find out, oh, sorry, you've been red flagged. You're basically on a no-fly list. It's disgusting. So people are, the crime's shot up. It's skyrocketed over this coronavirus. People are robbing people even more because of everyone wearing masks. So it doesn't really raise a red flag when people wear masks in public now. So I walked up to the bank and everyone was there to rob the bank. I mean, it's insane that people think that all of this is going to be better. Taking all these precautions is going to be better than just letting it run its course. It's not. It's proven it's not. Why are we still dragging our butts on this? Get America back open. So that's enough about the coronavirus. I don't want to focus the whole show on this. I do want to get to a few other topics. We got a lot of topics to get to today, not a whole lot of time. Press Secretary Kayleigh McEnany, still don't know how to pronounce her name, but I think that's it. Kayleigh McEnany responded to Chris Cuomo's criticism of Trump taking hydroxychloroquine by referencing Chris Cuomo taking a less safe version called quinine, or quinine, I'm not sure how to pronounce that. It's a less safe version of hydroxychloroquine, essentially, and it was removed from the market by the FDA in 2006 due to serious side effects. Get this, one of the side effects was death. But he's going to sit there and criticize the president for taking hydroxychloroquine, which has proven methods for other things like malaria, things like that, and he wants to act like he's going to be up on this pedestal and he's untouchable. He wouldn't do that kind of stuff. No, of course, he's just typical CNN Chris Cuomo spatting his propaganda, making Trump look bad, making it look like he doesn't know what he's doing. And then we've got Pelosi, who we'll get to in a bit, but she also said something regarding Trump's health, which I thought was absolutely distasteful, completely inappropriate, and kind of hilarious that she would even stoop that low, but nothing surprises me from her mouth anymore. So I'm glad that Kayleigh McEnany doesn't take any bull from these reporters. I wish she would have brought back to her comment where she said, Would the Washington Post like to take this back? Would the New York Post like to take this back? Fox News would like to take this back? Because she said at the end of that, I'll give you a few days and that should have plenty of time to come up with the answers. I wish she would have started her press conference saying, so I just want to see if anyone has the answers to my questions. But that would have been a little tongue-in-cheek for the Trump administration, which already gets a ton of bull from the media. So probably best she didn't. Still, would have been pretty darn hilarious. Back to Trump's tweet, though, that I told you we were going to get to. He tweeted out a tweet this week saying, would someone please tell this wacko from China that the coronavirus is not the fault of America or anything else. It's the fault of China's incompetence, and this dope isn't getting it. He called him a wacko and a dope. And honestly, nothing surprises me from Trump's mouth either. He does talk like a 12-year-old man child. And it's kind of funny because you don't expect it. Maybe nowadays we do because we've come to know him for what he is. But at the same time, it's kind of scary for him to talk like that. Maybe we need a president that says it the way it is. We do, but maybe he could word it a little better and not come off so mature. I think that's why the media gives him a lot of bull. Obviously, they give him a lot of bull because of his stance being a Republican and because he's winning for America. He's honestly, in my opinion, one of the best presidents we've had in my lifetime. He's done exactly what I've elected him to do. He's building the wall. He's draining the swamp. He's the only thing he didn't do, which I was a little disappointed about, was locking up Hillary Clinton. That was a campaign promise. Promise made, promise not kept, Mr. Trump. I'm still waiting to see it. And there's an investigation still going on with Hillary Clinton's emails, too. So that's nice to see. At least that's still a possibility. Slim chance, but still a possibility. But for him to, anyways, back to the tweet, for him to talk like that is absolutely hilarious. I'm surprised Twitter hasn't banned him. We're lucky they haven't because they do censor a lot of conservative tweets, unfortunately. Candace Owens recently got banned for, I forget what she said, but she recently got banned for something that wasn't that bad. They just said that she violated their terms of service. They did not reference what service, what terms of service that she violated. They just said, you violated our terms of service and you have to apologize. They literally held her account ransom. They said, if you want your account back, you're going to have to apologize. That's like elementary school type stuff, okay? Like you're in elementary school and, oh, you stole his pencil, you're going to have to apologize. Now you two need to get along. Just give her account back. She violated it once. Okay, give it back. Don't be playing these childish little games, but Twitter and Facebook are known for being liberal propaganda as well, censorship of conservatives hardcore. I've been banned myself on Facebook multiple times. I'm in danger of completely losing my account, I think. By the way, if you want to get in touch with me, you can find me on Facebook at facebook.com/politicalhogwash, or you can email me politicalhogwash@yahoo.com. And I'd love to hear from you, even if you disagree. Just, you know, have some evidence to support your facts, your facts, and we'll talk about it. Maybe I'll reference you on the next show. Maybe I'll have you on as a guest. I'd love to talk with you. So, anyways, I think that's kind of funny that Trump talks like that from time to time. Moving on, Biden this morning. Biden's interview. I say this morning because I recorded this on Fridays. Biden's interview with DJ Charlemagne the God, which I thought was a ridiculous name, but what's even more ridiculous is what Biden said to him. He said, "If you're," and I'm not taking this out of context, he literally said, "If you vote, if you don't know whether to vote for me or Trump, then you ain't black."
But I tell you, if you have a problem figuring out whether you're for me or Trump, then you ain't black.
He has no filter. That was probably one of the most coherent sentences he's said in the last 6 months, but it definitely wasn't the right thing to say because even CNN got on his butt and started saying that they couldn't believe he said it. They went against him, and for CNN to do that, you know, maybe the Democratic National Committee is actually thinking about swapping him out for Andrew Cuomo or someone, God forbid, that doesn't have dementia. I thought that was pretty hilarious. Pelosi's comment, however, was, like I said, absolutely inappropriate. Her comment about Trump. Now, Trump told his doctor, you know, his medical history, what's going on with him, and just like anyone would. And then his doctor prescribed him something, you know, completely normal. You go into a doctor's office, you tell them what's going on with you. They take that information, they make an assessment, and they prescribe you something. Trump got prescribed hydroxychloroquine by his doctor. Pelosi's apparently a doctor now all of a sudden. Don't know when she got that degree. And she started saying that he's, and I quote, morbidly obese and shouldn't be taking hydroxychloroquine. Okay, Trump has a little extra weight, but he's not morbidly obese, and he doesn't live off of 10 pints of gourmet ice cream, Pelosi. Okay. Instead, he's getting prescribed something, and you're going to go against what the doctor's saying. Do you know how foolish that makes you look? You already looked foolish, but do you know how much more foolish you look right now? Oh, my goodness. For her to say that, absolutely inappropriate. You call a political rival morbidly obese? That's even worse than when Trump said on the debate stage with Hillary Clinton, "What a nasty woman." I will admit, I lost it when he said that, and I did cheer, because I was a fanatic at that point, and I was so against Hillary Clinton, I was willing to do anything for him to win. So, for her to say that, and then she continues on, she makes it worse, because she said he had doggy doo-doo on his shoes. What does that even mean? She said he's like a child with doggy doo-doo on his shoes. What is she talking about? Was she drinking while she was talking? Someone please tell me what is going on in this woman's brain. Is the cog wheel turning, or is there a wrench stuck in it? Because I'm not understanding where she thinks she can get off saying this kind of stuff about a sitting U.S. president. Whether she feels this way or that way about him is completely distasteful, disrespectful, and inappropriate. Now, away from most of the tweets and things that people have said to each other, you know, this big slander battle between politicians, a little bit serious topic here. China's military is gearing up for possible retaliation because their fear is that the entire world is against them, which it pretty much is. China's responsible for this virus. That's why Trump called it the Chinese virus. He's putting accountability in the name of the virus instead of coronavirus, COVID-19, Chinese virus. It's important to remember where it came from. A little while ago, the Spanish flu of 1918, the influenza pandemic, yeah, it's no longer called the Spanish flu. It got stealth edited on Wikipedia to be called the influenza pandemic of 1918 or influenza outbreak of 1918. There's no Spanish in it anymore to go along with the propaganda that it's racist to call it by the origin of where it came from. I'm sorry, West Nile virus? Really? It doesn't make sense to start changing these things just to appeal to a certain demographic, but that's what they're doing. They're skewing the facts. And now China's military is gearing up for this retaliation from the whole world that might be military intervention. We don't know what's going to happen. It's going to be a scary future here in a little bit. It might be it might settle down, but we can't predict the future. So hopefully it'll be okay. Who knows? But Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who is, I don't know, there's a lot of dumb Democratic politicians out there. There's a lot of dumb Republican politicians out there. But she might be the dumbest one, I think. And I try to say that with respect. She came from being a bartender, so she didn't have the qualifications to be a politician. But she has this Green New Deal, which will add trillions of dollars to the deficit and will help nobody. It'll just make it harder on American taxpayers. She proposes cutting the budget to the U.S. military at a time when China's military is gearing up for possible aggression. Who knows if China's even possibly going to strike first for fear of retaliation? We don't know what's going on. It's kind of like a Cold War right now, honestly. It's terrifying. We're back to the 80s with Russia, only now it's China. And it's only going to get worse as we try to hold them accountable. They're going to keep saying, America did this, America did that. They're going to keep blaming us. The rest of the world's going to keep blaming them. Iran's probably going to defend them, and you know, Russia, China, Iran, they're all allies. We're going to see how strong their partnership is. It's going to be pretty scary. Back home, however, there's a bit of a war on religion. In Minnesota, at least, some states, Minnesota particularly, has a bit of a war on religion. So some of the coronavirus restrictions say that you can't have a certain number of people. You can only have up to a certain number of people, rather, in a public space. Okay, that's fine. That makes sense. Less people, less spread. Totally makes sense to me. What doesn't make sense is the Minnesota governor said that restaurants can have up to 50 people while churches can have no more than 10. That's discrimination. That's a war on religion. It's completely what it is. And the legislatures are not putting up with it. A lot of states have already appealed to their governors and started filing lawsuits. It's getting ugly against these state governors that are abusing their power. It really is. They're filing lawsuits. They're making sure that they keep them in check. And they're probably going to win because that's discrimination against religion, which is not, it's protected, you know? One thing that really gets me fired up that happened this week is Pelosi's complete dictatorial stance as her role of speaker, of being Speaker of House. She went and made a rule change in the House of Representatives where, and this is her ploy, due to coronavirus and people not being able to come in, we're letting politicians here now vote for up to 10 other colleagues that can't make it. That's a pretty gray area. She has the power to just do that? Something needs to be done. This needs to be kept in check because this is just the tip of the iceberg. First of all, her ploy that it's the coronavirus, that they're afraid of getting the coronavirus. Yeah, that's all a lie. Flat out, when the press conference ended and with Kayleigh McEnany at the White House this week, the cameras were still on. The reporters didn't think they were. They all stood up, took off their masks. They're still right next to each other. So the masks are all for show. It's all to push an agenda, people. And I hope Kayleigh took note of this and sees the news that they did this or knows that they did this and calls it out. Because I feel like she would. She doesn't take anything from people. She's not gonna let them get away with it. I hope she doesn't. But they took them off. The cameras weren't off. And I bet you the Democrats do the same thing. In all the mainstream news that's getting published, every picture of Pelosi right now, she has a mask on. Every single story. She doesn't wear a mask that often. She probably doesn't wear it in closed session. I bet none of them do. Maybe there's some that actually buy into this whole lie, this whole propaganda thing. There's Democrats that don't fully support the mainstream Democratic agenda that Pelosi's pushing. There's some that have walked away. So they're probably still wearing the masks that think that this is necessary. But honestly, the masks only help you if you already have it. They don't help you. They help other people. It's not going to protect you from necessarily getting it. You know, we were supposed to stay 6 feet away, but these reporters, they get up and they walk right next to each other. They shake each other's hands like, oh, yeah, that was a good question, Bob. Oh, thanks, Ouija Jang. You know, it's all for show. It's just a big lie, and the cameras caught them. It was like a hot mic moment, but it was a hot camera moment. This is absolutely beautiful. I'm so glad that the media, the left-wing media, of course, didn't say anything about it, but the right-wing media called it out, put it out there. Now it's all for everyone to see. Go online, do your own research, verify what I'm saying, come back to me. You'll see for yourself. So I think this is just the tip of the iceberg, honestly. I think this is setting a precedent for Pelosi to abuse more of her power, and right now she's not being kept in check. And she's going to see that, and she's going to take it as far as we let her. All these politicians, all these governors, and Pelosi are taking it as far as we let them. And we've let them get away with everything, short of murder. I mean, I saw some fanatic posts on Facebook that said Trump could It was Biden could kill a baby or rape this, rape that, and I would still vote for him over Trump. Like, that is disgusting, people. You're letting these people get away with that, with your fanaticism. You need to own up to your own ideals. You claim to have ideals, and you let them get away with this? You say stuff like that? You don't have ideals. You're a flat-out hypocrite. Okay, I'm trying to tell you that you're the one ruining this country. They're only ruining it because you're letting them. So, by a law of association, you're the one doing it. Let's get back to accountability. Hold them accountable. Show them that they can't take it this far. And then they won't try it again. They won't try another step. But we're over here just with our thumb up our butts and sitting here watching Netflix. Instead, we're laughing about Trump's tweet and Pelosi's this and Biden that. This is not okay. Yeah, it's fine to laugh at it because it's absolutely hilarious that it even happens. But there needs to be accountability in this. We need to make sure that we're keeping these people in check, because if we're not, then we're not even in charge of this country. And it's a country of the people, for the people, by the people, but not right now. Let's get back to that. There was a judge recently that got paid. He got caught, finally. And this is just one that got caught. Imagine all the people that didn't get caught. But there was a judge that got paid by a political consultant to stuff the ballot box with votes for the Democratic candidates that hired that political consultant. So essentially, and I'm not saying it was Biden, I'm not saying it was Hillary, but we're going to use Biden as an example because he's the Democratic nominee right now. Essentially, Biden told a political consultant something. The political consultant then took that information and decided it was in his best interest to take a course of action, which resulted in a judge breaking the law and stuffing fictitious votes in a ballot box over and over. This guy literally stood in a ballot box writing numerous votes, just filling out as many as he could, and stuffing that ballot for the Democratic candidate that hired that political consultant. Holy cow, if that's not corruption, I don't know what is. And this was the 2016 election. He just pled guilty this week. Hillary could have won and that could have won her the election. You know, it's terrifying. There needs to be some more safeguards on this. Instead, the Democrats just want to take out voter ID altogether so that they can get away with it. The Republicans aren't letting them. They're standing their ground on that, thank God. But they're doing their best to rig this election, people. And like I said, there's some Democrats that are good. They're fine. But Pelosi's agenda right now, totalitarian. She needs to be voted out. California, you've had two Republicans take over seats in your state this week. I am so proud of you because you flipped a seat that hadn't been flipped for 22 years. You flipped it from blue to red after 22 years of Democratic rule. If that's a precedent for the rest of what America is going to do, then I think we're on the right track. And I hope the rest of California follows suit. I know you guys are sick of what's going on. You've got homelessness running rampant throughout your state. You've got people crapping all over the sidewalk, literally crapping all over the sidewalk. This isn't a euphemism. It's disgusting. The smell of feces and trash everywhere. It's like a third world country. You remember when Trump made that comment, that crap hole country? I don't want to swear because I don't want to offend anyone, but he said they should worry about their own crap hole country. Well, there was a big media uproar about that, but guess what? California's turned into one of those. Feces, trash, the smell, oh my goodness, that's why these states are flipping over from blue to red. And finally, that shows me people are waking up. That shows me people aren't going to just leave the state. They're going to vote, they're going to take action, they're going to run for office. Hallelujah. So this was just one judge that got caught. Imagine all the ones that are doing this that political consultant probably went to multiple judges. I guarantee you he wasn't the only one. That political consultant needs to face jail time as well. Because he paid someone to break the law. Where's the accountability on that? Now, I'm not saying he's not being charged with anything. Nothing's broken of the story from that regard yet, but that's definitely something I'm going to keep an eye on because we need to follow that all the way back to the candidate. If we do find out it was Biden, or we do find out it was Hillary, or we do find out it was Bernie Sanders, then there needs to be criminal proceedings. And for Obama and Biden to get a pass by Attorney General William Barr, on this whole Obamagate scandal, that shows me that essentially they're too powerful to touch. He doesn't have enough information, but he's saying that they won't be prosecuted. He doesn't even have enough information to make that assessment yet. He's just getting into the beginning of it. This is the tip of the iceberg. We just uncovered this. There's so much more information coming out every single day. The Susan Rice email that went out on Inauguration Day, where she mentioned the words, by the book, by the book, by the book. Everything was done by the book. She said it three times on Inauguration Day in an email. That's a little weird. Why would she assert by the book three times in the same email on Inauguration Day? There's something not normal about that, people. Start asking questions. Getting a little fired up here. So, back to the bill that we were talking about last week, the HEROES Act. Mitch McConnell is not supporting this enhancement that they're trying to do, the extension for the enhancement of unemployment benefits. And I'm glad he's standing the ground on this, because it's just going to tell Americans that the government's going to take care of you. You don't have to work. The economy can suffer, and then we can blame Trump. That's their whole plan. That's it. In 10 easy seconds, they want to crash the economy, make Trump look bad, and then make themselves look good by comparison. Because, oh, well, we gave the American people what they wanted. Well, yeah, of course, nobody wants to work. Sure, I don't want to sit here on all day blowing up about politicians. I mean, I kind of do, because otherwise my girlfriend, I have to rant at her and tell her about it, and she's just, I don't care, you know, I'm not very political. So at least I have somewhere to some people to talk to, somewhere to vent my frustrations with this and wake people up. But it's like nobody even cares, and Mitch is standing his ground. The Republicans are standing their ground on this from happening. The Democrats wanted to extend the unemployment benefits through January. That's 7 months away. You're telling me we're going to need that 7 months from now? You're telling me that you can predict 7 months from now that many people are going to be out of a job? That means that they're going to put those people out of a job, because they already have people getting paid more to not work than I'm getting paid to work. It's absolutely asinine. It's just like food stamps and EBT. Thank God Trump took a strong stance on that, because you had Karen over there at home just sitting on her lazy butt buying tons of Oreos with her EBT card, not wanting to go to work. Instead, she's living off the government, making tons of money, plenty to live in her little trailer home. And that's not okay. That's not the American way. You work hard for what you get. That's the American dream. If you want it, go out and work for it. Be the change you want to see in this country. Now, on the other side, Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin, he's ensuring the public that the employees who do reject offers to return to work from their employers, like if you tell your employer, oh, sorry, no, I don't want to come back to work, guess what? You're not getting unemployment. You are ineligible for unemployment. He's urging these companies, these employers, to report their employees for refusing to work, so that way they can have their unemployment revoked. So they're not leeching off the government. They're not leeching off the taxpayers. Because, yeah, it's not just the government. The government gets the money from us. I want to see a photo of the little family that I'm supporting on my fridge every time I go to get milk. Send me that with my tax return, please. So thankfully, this administration is making sure that it's all about American workers first. I'm very thankful for that. I've always learned that you will get what you work for. It's true for any American, regardless of race, creed, religion. Go out and do it. And then complain. Then complain how rough of a day at work you had. Then complain how you want to find another job. At least you got one. You're getting stuff that you earned for. You're telling me that doesn't feel better than sitting at home, playing video games, watching Netflix all day, just getting a check in the mail every single day? You're telling me it doesn't feel better to go out, get your hands dirty, work, come home with a productive mindset, and know that everything you have, that nice car in your driveway, that computer you have with a 1060 GTX graphics card, you worked for that. I love that feeling every single day of my life. I don't know how you couldn't. It's a sense of accomplishment. That's what everybody wants in their life. They always want people to say, and nowadays they just want people to say, oh yeah, you're doing a great job, even though you're not. It's all about inclusion and participation trophies. I don't understand that. It's like if you lost, you still get a trophy. Well, how does that make the winner feel? The winner gets the trophy because they won. The trophy is the sense of accomplishment in tangible form. Now the loser's getting the trophy. Now people that have stupid ideas and don't follow society are being included in these decision-making processes. And, oh, well, we want to be all-inclusive. We want to be diverse and make sure that everyone gets a say. And no! Screw those people. Just because they don't follow the way that they don't go with the grain of society, that doesn't mean we need to bow down to them. Are you kidding me? Society has transformed so much since I was maybe 10 years old. I don't know. I started paying attention to politics when I was probably 17, 18 years old. That's when I really started getting into politics, because my brother instilled in me how important politics were and that I would soon be able to vote. And I needed to be educated and ready to essentially guide this country with my vote. Instead, we've got people that just voice their opinion and then we automatically listen to them, no matter how asinine it might be. All right, on to another topic. Senate Judiciary Chairman Lindsey Graham is now demanding the declassification of all Trump campaign associates that were unmasked by Obama officials. So we had Flynn that got unmasked and was leaked to the media. Again, the unmasking requests aren't illegal. What is illegal is leaking it to the media. And someone in the Obama White House, we know for a fact, leaked it to the media the day that Vice President, at the time Joe Biden, requested it. Which only tells me that Biden was directly involved. There's no legitimacy to them waiting to leak it after 20 different requests from John Brennan and James Comey and Susan Rice and Sally Yates and Loretta Lynch and all these people. There's no legitimacy to waiting until 6 days before the election to leak it to the media. But there is legitimacy to Vice President Biden requesting that unmasking and then it leaking the same exact day. It's just too much of a coincidence. It's not a coincidence. It's corruption and it's dirty politics. Now, Biden's in a little bit of trouble on his own. The Democrats were always talking about, oh, this big Ukrainian quid pro quo scandal. You know, Trump withheld aid to Ukraine because he told him to investigate Biden, which we found out wasn't what happened. Schiff lied, Brennan lied, Comey lied. They all lied. That's what they do. They lie. So now Joe is found to have done the thing that Trump was accused of doing. I'm going to call him, for all intents and purposes, quid pro quo Joe, also because it flows very well. So quid pro quo Joe was on the phone during his tenure as vice president with, at the time, Ukrainian President Petro Poroshenko, regarding the firing of Viktor Shokin. Now, if you don't know who Viktor Shokin is, he was, at the time, the prosecutor general for Ukraine. And why would Biden be concerned about Viktor Shokin? Well, he was withholding a $1 billion loan guarantee from Ukraine for the firing of Viktor Shokin. And I'll tell you why he's so interested. It's not because Biden's trying to essentially play politics. No, it has nothing to do with politics here. This is all about family. Viktor Shokin was found to have been investigating Hunter Biden with the Ukrainian connection that Trump was trying to investigate Joe and Hunter for, because, you know, if there's foul play, Trump needs to do that. It wasn't a political move. I would want my president to investigate corruption, but this is all about family. Phone calls got released. It's out in the open now. I'm going to play it for you in a second here. But quid pro quo Joe flat out told Petro Poroshenko that now that you have fired this prosecutor general that was investigating my son, I'm going to give you that $1 billion loan guarantee. Here's the clip. Listen for yourself. This is insane.
Hey, Mr. President, Joe Biden. How are you?
Very well indeed. As usual, when I hear your voice. Thank you.
Well, you are doing very well. Congratulations on getting the new prosecutor general. I know there's a lot more that has to be done, but I really think that's good, and I understand your working with the Rod in the coming days on a number of additional laws to secure the IMF. So, but congratulations on installing the new prosecutor general. It's going to be critical for him to work quickly to repair the damage Shokin did. And I'm a man of my word. And that now that the new prosecutor general is in place, we're ready to move forward in signing that new $1 billion loan guarantee.
So from what I'm gathering is that Joe Biden had a quid pro quo agreement with Ukraine, which they accused Trump of doing, while Joe Biden was vice president. So from what I understand, Democrats' playbook is to just accuse the other side of what you're guilty of. So every time they accuse Trump of something, I think it's safe to assume and do some research and try to investigate that they might actually be guilty of it themselves. So much corruption over the last week, it's unbelievable. I thought I wasn't going to have enough content for the show. I thought it was going to be boring. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope you have had a seatbelt on this entire time, because I don't think I've been this fired up in quite a while. So, like I said, what are we going to do? We're going to go out, we're going to vote, we're going to be peaceful, we're going to protest, we're going to run for office, we're going to get involved. I hope you guys agree with me. If not, send me an email. Why not? We'll figure it out together. Don't yell. I'm not going to have any respect for you if you yell. Email me, politicalhogwash@yahoo.com. Find me on Facebook, facebook.com/politicalhogwash. And I will see you guys next time. Remember, as long as a politician's mouth stays open, so shall mine. Cooper out.
That's enough. Put down the mic.